Greetings, one and all. Welcome along to the Still Parents podcast in association with Global's Make Some Noise. It is Baby Loss Awareness Week, and just as we were doing last year, we are releasing mini episodes every single day, roughly around about 10 minutes or so, getting on past and future and well-known guests that we've had on. And seeing as he's now an ambassador for our podcast, we thought it's only right that we get the wonderful and the brilliant Kelly Jean-Philippe joining us on today's mini episode for Baby Loss Awareness Week, all the way from Philadelphia in the United States of the USA.
Yeah.
Why you got to say that?
Well done.
Well done, yeah.
Well done.
Well done.
Geography by Dan.
Yeah.
Most recently joined, all the links to Kelly's previous episodes in the description to this. Most recently joined us for International Father's Mental Health Day a few months ago. So we'll speak to Kelly in a second. You're right there, Ryan. You okay, mate?
I'm good, thanks.
Matthew, how are you?
Very well.
Kelly, thank you for joining us. How are you, sir?
Doing all right. I was telling you guys, just recovering from a cold this past weekend, but I'm happy to report that my wife and I and the kids, we survived.
Is it also known as man flu in America? Or
I'm not that familiar with that term, although I might start a campaign to refer to it as man flu from now on.
We dine off, us men in the UK, we dine off man flu as much as we can.
Only when you get it, Kelly. So only when you get
it. Got it.
Yeah, that's it.
Well, that makes sense.
Baby Loss Awareness Week, as we mentioned at the start, is now in its 22nd year. But for lots of people, it's still not something that they're even wary of. Is it something that is known about over where you are, Kelly, Baby Loss Awareness Week?
You know, I'm aware of it, obviously, because it's impacted me. I'm actually not sure about how big or how well known of a thing it is over here in the United States of America.
There's actually a theme adopted to Baby Loss Awareness Week, which is the theme of self-care. And as we've already discussed this week, I'm going to ask Kelly for his viewpoint on it anyway, because self-care, it is, and I'm not shitting all over the week because it's important to highlight it, but it's fairly ambiguous as a phrase, isn't it? Because isn't that something that you do anyway, every single day, based on the tragedy that you've had?
I mean, at least you're supposed to.
Yeah.
I think that's, on the one hand, I feel like the term self-care is overplayed.
Right.
Because especially, you know, coming out of COVID, during COVID, coming out of COVID, I feel like that's when it gained a momentum.
Yeah.
Nevertheless, I think that where we are as a society, we have so many distractions or so many things to distract us from taking care of our needs, our mental health needs, our physical needs, and what have you.
Yeah.
That's the angle that I kind of lean towards to say, okay, we can still talk about it. You know, it's still valid in that way. But yeah. I just feel like almost every movement that is raising awareness about something inevitably ends up talking about self-care. And then it's usually the same things that are said in every pocket of self-care conversation.
How do you manage your emotions and recognize a moment that you maybe need to spend a little bit more time on your own self, you know, your own self-care, maybe the things that you've discovered about yourself on your journey that you've gone through so far? Because obviously it's not complete, is it? It's still evolving.
Yeah, I'll give a brief story about a recent time when I realized I needed some form of self-care. So my youngest son, Eden, is a year and a half. And about, I don't know, like maybe 6 to 8 months after he was born, I realized that if I didn't seek for help in some way, shape, or form, then I was going to end up harming my relationship with my oldest son, Juki. I was not showing up as the best version of myself to my wife. And I just felt personally that I was jumping off of the deep end. So one day I just got into a private room at home and I pulled out my insurance card. I called a number in the back and I spoke with a representative and I said, I need you to send me a list of therapists in my area who accept this insurance, and these are the criteria.
Okay.
And I was sent that list. I wasn't very discriminate about who it was. As long as it met criteria A, B, and C, I was fine with that.
Okay.
And I got in touch with a therapist for the first time in my life. And so over the course of the last year and a half of Eden's life, there's been moments where that relationship has ruptured with my therapist, not ruptured, interrupted with my therapist.
Yeah.
And I've noticed that in the times when I'm not going to therapy, man, I'm reverting back to some really bad mental habits. I realize that emotionally I've become more short and don't have as much reserve for my family. And and this is something that happened recently as of like the last 3 months. And so I reconnected with my therapist again. And this time around is for the purpose of maintaining a more consistent relationship with her, because I do notice the difference between when I'm in therapy and I have that space to process my emotions, to freely express whatever it is I need to freely express, and when I'm not doing that. And the consequences are just too much for me to not take that seriously. So I think that would be the most important version of self-care that I would promote to anyone, is find a therapist, find a counselor, find a life coach, you know, endow a best friend with special powers to listen to you. Like, I don't care. Just find someone who's willing to listen and who you can trust and share all sorts of things with, because we all need that space to just unload whatever it is we're inputting on ourselves or life is inputting on us.
It's almost like a mental gym, isn't it? From what you were saying, because if you keep going and then you stop, after a few weeks, you notice it's like you don't feel it, you don't see it. And it was the same. Like, if you're not carrying on with that journey with the therapist and having those conversations, you take a step back, maybe think, oh, I'm all right. And then it creeps back in again.
I've done exactly the same thing in the last 6 months, maybe.
Mm.
And it wasn't necessarily focused around loss.
Okay.
But I needed to speak to somebody.
What prompted it?
I just felt a bit down.
Yeah.
To be honest, I just felt a bit like I just needed to speak to somebody.
Yeah.
It was nothing in specific. There was no one isolated incident that made me think that I needed to speak with someone. But I suppose in some respects, and I actually spoke to one of the people who we refer clients to if they need more specialist sort of support.
Okay.
So from my perspective, a lot of it was based around getting my own support because of everything that we carry on our shoulders as a charity every single day, and what we see and what we do every single day.
Well, you never get a rest from it, do you, as we spoke about before?
Apart from when I get COVID. But like, apart from that...
which, for context, by the way, Ryan's just at it again. Yeah.
Again, yeah. But this is going to sound like a really bizarre thing to say, but whenever I've seen a therapist, and I've seen a couple of therapists now, both male and female, I almost get an enjoyment of learning about myself or learning about what is affecting, what is it, not finding the problem, but working through the process to enable you to almost come up with something to resolve the issue that you're experiencing at that time.
That makes total sense.
And I think it's that type, because then you start to understand yourself. So that then in future, when you do start to go down that slippery little path that you're thinking about at maybe certain pertinent times of the year, i.e. in the lead up to Lily's birthday or Christmases or times of the year where you expect to be celebrating as a family, you've got a coping strategy and you've got a process that you've worked through with that specific therapist that helps you to be able to preempt what's coming to then. And that, from a self-care perspective, is important.
Yeah.
I'm just so pleased that Kelly and Ryan have opened this conversation all of us, because for males to talk about this, it's absolutely massive, because like, it took me 6 years to get there for my therapy.
Mm.
When I did it, it was the best thing I ever did. I had an incident in my life that I knew I needed to do it because I needed that help. But it all came back to me losing Callie, and I hadn't actually... I thought I dealt with it. But you know what I'm good at? I'm good at helping everybody else.
Yeah, I'm exactly the same.
You are, like, yeah. You are like the most bloody lovely. I mean, no, you imprinted out my daughter's homework earlier. I didn't even do it.
But I like helping people.
Yeah.
That's the thing. I like helping people, but I didn't. I got to a point in my life where I wasn't helping myself.
And was that a form of distraction? Like you were just avoiding tackling it yourself.
I think at times it's a form of self-destruction because I think it's a fear of opening up to the inevitable that is effectively it's almost another way that you've compartmentalized the trauma that you've gone through. The way I look at it and what I try and say to my clients is, if you chip your tooth. Or if you need a filling.
That's tooth in American, by the way.
I got it.
If you chip your tooth or you need a filling, you go to the dentist.
Yes.
Okay?
Yes.
If you break your leg, you go to the hospital.
Yeah.
It's exactly the same.
Well, that's the thing. Because it sounds so simple, but then people still don't do it. I've not heard anyone going, I went to see a therapist and I feel worse.
No, I'm not going to lie. I wouldn't go out saying... You know, I could go out and say, I went to the dentist yesterday and I had a filling. But I wouldn't go out and say, I went to see my therapist yesterday. And I think that is because of the stigmas that are associated with it potentially.
Yeah, yeah.
For me personally, would it bother me if I said to, you know, I went to see my therapist? No, because that's just me. Quite frankly.
You made a good point, though, because it is the guy thing, isn't it? It's seen as a weakness. Yeah. I can't admit it.
Quite frankly, for me, I've been through a lot worse than me turning around and saying, I've been to see a therapist.
Yeah.
Some people who maybe don't have a support network around them, maybe that's family or maybe that's friends or work friends or colleagues, it can be very daunting.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it helps. It really, really does help.
I know it sounds like a daft question, but do you feel better for doing it? Like you said, I know you said there's been a difference, but like have you seen a real... Because I know I've seen a difference since I've had my therapy. I know I've had a difference. I've been able to cope with certain situations better than before I had it because I'm able to go back to those sessions.
1,000%. You know, I've mentioned this on here before, right? In my context specifically, my line of work is sort of like that of a therapist and a counselor. So I'm not only dealing with my own personal issues during my work week, I am engaged with other people as you guys are, and you're inevitably being impacted by the heaviness of their situation. So at the end of a week, like I just need somewhere to unload all of that stuff so that I can be functional. Mm-hmm. It's not just even for my family, just to be functional for myself. So what I tell people is that at least the bar for me is not that therapy is going to fix my problems.
No, yeah, yeah.
For me, the bar is therapy gives me an outlet to be able to clear whatever emotional baggage I've been accumulating throughout the week, just so that I can be functional, so I can wake up on a consistent basis and be like, yeah, you know what? Life is still worth living, without having all of that just sort of weigh and erode emotionally.
What a great way of putting it.
Yes, brilliant.
How do you switch off? What does Kelly Jean-Philippe do to zone out and have a bit of fun?
So I don't have one particular thing that I do, but I do have some form of a ritual.
Okay.
So this is my work phone. You guys are looking at me, so I can show this to you. This is my work phone, and this is my personal phone. Okay. So I have two phones on purpose because I want to keep everything work-related in one spot and everything non-work-related somewhere else. So when I leave here, I turn off every single notification on my work phone.
Brilliant.
Before I walk out of the hospital, and sometimes when I don't, I get upset at myself that I got home and my notifications are still on because I haven't been true to my ritual. So that's one thing. The other thing is I drive to work and back home on a daily basis. And my drive home can be an hour long, depending on the heavy flow of traffic. And while most people might be upset because it's like, I want to get home after a long day of work, I take that time to just chill.
You're right, you know.
I'm either listening to stuff.
Yeah, you're right.
I'm either, you know, silence and I'm not listening to music or anything. And I just have the windows down if it's nice enough. I have a car with a sunroof, so I'm always having the sunroof either open all the way or tilted for some fresh air. And I'm not in a rush to get home because I need that time to just decompress. And then when I get home and I park my car and I go in, say hi to the kiddo, say hi to the wife, and then I go sit on the throne.
You
for
said
a good
this
15
yes.
minutes.
Yeah, you said this before. Yeah, it's man. Like, yeah, yeah. I thought you was leading up to that, but
and
I love it.
Every male listening to this right now has gone, yep. That's what we do.
Mine's in the morning. Mine's morning.
There's absolutely nothing wrong with sitting on the throne.
Absolutely.
I used to love it when I was teaching. I'd go and sit on the throne for an hour. You're paying me to have a shit. I'm getting paid to have a shit.
I was so in the UK, Kelly, there's a place called the Toby Carvery.
Yes.
Which is you know, you go down there for your Sunday dinner, get all your meat and your trimmings. And I went down with the family yesterday and the kids were winding me up a little bit, and at one point basically they'll just eat you know when people have got their own food but they still eat yours. I'm like, I know you're my kids, but like seriously.
That's like Joey out of Friends.
It is that.
Nobody touches my food.
Joey doesn't share food.
Yeah, exactly.
So I'm like, okay, I'll be back in a minute. I didn't need to pee. I didn't need to wash my hands. I just went and stood in the toilet at Toby Carvery.
I get head against the wall.
Yeah. I did a pretend wash of my hands when someone walked in. I suppose because I don't want to look like that weirdo.
It's the only time. It's the only reason I listen to so many podcasts. The drive.
Yeah.
The drive that
TalkSport. I've got like Amy can't understand why I listen to TalkSport. She just gets so bored and I'm just like, this is my time.
Yeah, exactly.
Like TalkSport.
And you don't need to understand what someone else is enjoying in order to appreciate that that works for them.
Yeah. Yeah.
You don't need to like it. It's so subjective, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's great.
Kelly, as always. Absolute pleasure having you on. Kelly is our ambassador as well, one of our ambassadors. And if you'd like to listen to Kelly's podcasts, which are absolutely brilliant, I will put the links for that. Ryan and Matt are, myself, we're going to be featuring on Kelly's podcast as well very soon.
We are.
So we are looking forward to that. And yeah, like we say, it's all on the description. You can get everything in there as well. We absolutely love you, Kel. We think you speak brilliantly, as always. Yeah. And thank you for joining us.
Can I just ask, because you keep referring to Kelly now as Kel, does that mean that you two have got some sort of...
Do you know what?
Is there a little brosive?
Do you know what? It's because my surname, Kelly, and I always, quite often with my lads, it's always Kel, Kel's... Calzinho when I'm playing football.
That's the worst fucking excuse I've ever heard in my life.
Did you hear what he said? Calzinho.
Yeah, Calzinho.
Calzinho.
Yeah, yeah. You know. Yeah, the Calzinho, the Brummy Brazilian Smethwick right back.
who happens to be bold.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, I realise I've just started doing that without, I don't even know if Kelly likes that.
I've been called the worst thing, so I'm cool with it. cool with that.
All right there, K-Man. Well, it's
K-Man.
K-Man, K-Money, Kells.
Yeah.
I used to be called R. Kelly, but now that's very
common. Yeah, don't want that one.
No.
Kelly, thank you very much for joining us. Like we say, everything that you need to see is in the description for this podcast, and we're looking forward to joining you on yours very, very soon. Nice one, Kelly.
I appreciate you guys very much.